Welcome back to Yahoo Finance Live. Shares of Mondelez under some pressure in the session, down nearly 3%, or nearly 3% here after reporting fourth quarter earnings results yesterday. The company's revenue beat estimates, but earnings per share came in just slightly under estimates. Inflation and supply chain issues continuing to be a major issue affecting the entire food sector. This coming after Mondelez raised prices during the previous quarter. Let's bring in Mondelez CFO Luca Zaramella, joining us also Brooke DePalma. Luca, let's start with the food costs. I mean, this is something in terms of price pressures we have heard on virtually every earnings call. What do the numbers look like for you? You've already increased prices once. How are you thinking about that next increase?
So we were very price disciplined in 2021, and there was one exception though, which is North America. We didn't price only once at the beginning of the year, and obviously it wasn't sufficient. And for a series of reasons, we decided to put price out there as of January 1st, a 6-7% price increase across the board with our biscuits, gum and candy portfolio. And so our margins have been somewhat impacted by the combination of extreme high inflation in the US specifically, and these delay in pricing, which is now kicking in finally as of January 1st. And so the profit profile should improve. And as we disclose numbers, it was very visible by segment that the most impacted segment in terms of profitability was North America, with the rest of the world being on more solid ground. And so once we price in the US, the situation in terms of profitability should improve quite a bit.
We were just taking a look at some of the segments there, and particularly within those segments, you've also made some strategic acquisitions. You know, how immediate have some of them have become accretive to the business, and where are you still waiting for some of those acquisitions to pay off longer term?
So back to the question you have, the last acquisition we made, which is Chipita, which is a snack baked company, $600-700 million in size. That has just been acquired, and so it was. We finalized the agreement as of January. That will kick in as our business in the years to come, and obviously we will integrate that business into the company, and we will get cost and revenue synergies. But it will take 1 year for us to be able to reap the fruit of that great acquisition. There have been other acquisitions, namely Tate's. That has been a clear success story. Last year, we integrated Tate's into our direct store delivery system, and the brand is thriving. We are having massive success. We are gaining share. We are very happy with that brand. We acquired a company whose name is Give & Go, which is in-store bakery in the US and Canada. Very successful company, very good growth rates. So we made a series of acquisitions over the last few years, and they are adding up to $1.5+ billion in revenue, high single digit growth potential, and obviously both revenue and cost synergies. So quite pleased with that. And hopefully there is more to come in 2022 and beyond.
Brooke, you're muted there.
Yeah, I can't hear you.
If I'm here again, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Wonderful. So I want to take a quick look at overseas. You did announce some price increases there, but given the recent tensions in Europe, like the likelihood of a Russian invasion into Ukraine, how exactly would this disrupt Europe, particularly Eastern European sales and operations, if at all?
We have local operations. We have local plants. We have very capable teams. And the first time around, when there was the Crimea crisis, I have to say the business motor through the crisis quite well. I cannot say this won't be painful, because it always is. But we're worried about, first and foremost, our people, their safety. And usually we do a good job there protecting them and then keeping the business going as much as we can. Obviously, if there is that type of crisis, there are ramifications in Europe in terms of what happens to exchange rates, devaluations, what happens to the gas that goes from Russia into Europe. And so it is a much broader type of situation that might impact not only our business, but the business overall. I truly hope there is not such a crisis coming up, and I truly hope they can find a solution to this.
And Luca, in Q4, the company did see a COVID-related disruption. You had to utilize temporary labor and also revitalize those COVID responses that you used in 2020 and 2021. Would you say we're still at the peak of that disruption, or is it tapering down a bit now?
First of all, I'd like to say that our teams did really a terrific job throughout the world, everywhere, from the US to Asia, to Europe, to Latin America, everywhere. In fact, the Q4 results for us in terms of top line, and so our ability to ship our products, was the highest quarter of the last 2 years, all in all. We grew 5.4%, which is quite a good number, given the level of the categories, et cetera. So we did a very good job. We could have sold more, quite frankly, but obviously we were capped, particularly in the US, by some absenteeism being a little bit higher than usual. But all in all, I would say, when you stand back and you look at what we have accomplished in Q4, I think my take is it could have been much worse, and the teams did a very good job. Now, Omicron has its biggest impact in the first few weeks of January. So we are facing higher level of absenteeism. But again, as I look at the January shipment data, I think we are in a strong position.
All right, it's Friday, so it's a cheat day. We could all use some good snacks here to round out this week. Great to have you here with us today to discuss Luca Zaramella as well as Brooke De Palma. Luca, of course, the Mondelez International CFO in Yahoo Finance's own. Brooke, great to have you both here with us for this conversation.